Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, and you know the battle that your people face. You know the battle that we face, even concerning what we've been reading about in your word, Lord God, holding on to a clear conscience. And I pray for my dear friend Neva and for Joe, and I praise you and thank you, Lord God, that their confidence is in Jesus and what you've done. It's not in what Joe's done or not done, or Neva's done and not done. They've both done a lot of good things for people, but they've also both done things that were not good. And so, Father, we thank you that it's not about Joe and it's not about Neva. But according to your word, it's about the stripes that you took on your back. It's about the grace that you have given to us because of your cross. And so we hold Joe before you. We stand in agreement with Joe and Neva that cancer has no right to Joe, that death has no right to Joe or Neva. We release peace, we release grace and healing. Let them be, Lord God, a testimony, a living, breathing testimony of your goodness and your grace. I pray that even now, that they would begin to feel the presence of your Holy Spirit touching them, Lord God. An affirmation, a confirmation of your love. And I pray, Lord God, for Monica's sister, Renee, and the family. You know the circumstance, Father. I release your peace. I release clarity of mind and heart. I thank you for a hedge of protection. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that what the enemy means for evil, you always turn for the good when we put our trust in you. Pray for Ricky Jenkins and his family, Lord God, and you know the circumstance and the situation. And Father, we know that there's not even a single sparrow can fall to the ground on this earth without your awareness of it. And Jesus, you told us, you told Ricky, you are more valuable than any sparrow. Pray for Josie, Lord God. And as I mentioned earlier, I can't find anywhere in the Word where it says that any form of sickness or disease belongs to us. Migraine headaches are tremendously painful. And I know, Lord Jesus, that in your Word, it declares that you bore our sickness and our pain. So you bore the pain that is attacking Josie. And I pray right now that whatever in her body physically is causing this to manifest, that, Lord, you would reverse it. I pray, Lord Jesus, your hand of healing, your anointing, break this yoke off of Josie right now, that she'd have a full and complete recovery, and that in her there would just arise this fight that says, not ever again, in Jesus' name. And, Father, we pray for Mandy. And, Lord, we pray for the home in which she is living, every resident there. And, Father, we pray a hedge of protection, and we pray that any virus that's going around, a stomach bug, whatever it is, Lord God, would just go on out, just pass on and be gone from the people, especially those who are calling out to you, Jesus. And, Lord, I pray for my cousins, Connie and Mark, Lord God, specifically for Mark. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is upon them. I thank you that your grace is more than sufficient for them. And, Lord, as they put their trust in you, I praise you and thank you that you bring about good things, peace, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Serre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525, a company that cares. Stay tuned. Y'all don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Dwight Delight Shepherd, and his title is Confidence.
Confidence in Christ. Not cockiness. Confidence. Amen. You know, there have been people sometimes, they didn't say it to my face, but they said it, and I heard about it, that they're like, that guy's so cocky about the things of God, about healing, and about this one. Like, I ask forgiveness if I ever came across as being cocky. But I guarantee you this, God wants us to be so absolutely confident in what he has promised that nothing can shake us off of it. Not what I feel, not what you feel, not what I see or what you see. You know, here's a saying that I like to say. Neva's heard this many times because Neva and I have friendship that goes back about 20 years or so. I don't know. But I'm going to lay two of them on you. Number one, does this surprise God? Something happens in your life, you know, it comes up. I didn't see that coming. Well, God did. So should you remain confident in the situation just because you didn't know it was coming? You didn't like it? You don't want it? You absolutely remain confident because this didn't sneak up on God. You know, this week over there in Davos, Switzerland, many of the elites of the world are getting together for a conference. The UN people are represented there, the WHO. If you don't know about what I'm talking about, just don't worry about it. But if you know what I'm talking about, you know, you go, oh, my gosh, those people they're trying to take away our rights and our freedoms, and they want to implement this and that, and they're trying to take over the world. And, you know, you might even be convinced that that's the Antichrist is at work there. I don't know. I don't know if he is or he's not, but I know this. They are trying to take over the world, and they've blatantly stated it, even on their website, that by 2030, their goal is you will own nothing and you'll be happy about it. I mean, they got all kinds of – the population of the earth would be down to 500 million people. That means they got to kill off 6.5 billion people between now and 2030, and they will cook up anything – I started to go somewhere, but I'm not going to. They'll cook up anything they can to get it done, whether it's a war or a disease or a virus or this or that or whatever. If they can wipe out the food supply and starve people, they don't care because they're going to have their bunker. They're going to have, you know, whatever. That's their mindset. But the thing they don't factor in is God. See, confidence, my confidence, the reason why I don't worry about that stuff is because my confidence 100% is in God. And that's where it needs to be. Our confidence needs to be in God. We don't need to worry. I'll give you one. So this doesn't surprise God. That's one. Here's the second one, and I'm going to actually give you a third one. Second one is this. Does that change the Word of God? Somebody be telling you their report, you know. Doctor said this, da-da-da-da. The banker said this, da-da-da-da. You know, my boss laid me off. I'm like, does that change the Word of God? And your answer should always be no. And then I want to say this. Don't mishear me, but keep your butt out of the way. What butt are you talking about? I'm not talking about the one you sat on. I'm talking about we would tend to go, no, it doesn't change the Word of God, but I got to have a job. Do you? I mean, it is God's will for a man to work. If he's able-bodied, you're able, a woman to work. If we're able to do, it's God's will for us to do. He doesn't call us to laziness. But is my supply dependent only on the work of my hands? And the answer is no. Because there might come a time or a place in your life where you can't work. There's either no work to be had or you can't do it or whatever the case is. You better know that God can and does and will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches by and through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19 says so. And nothing that happens in this world changes what God said in his word. Not a doctor's report, a financial report, a political report, a this, a that, or the other. None of it changes what God said in his word. I want to take you to, real quickly, before I drop that third one, to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. I was had the pleasure being up at the state capitol last week and sitting in someone's big, nice office, and they were telling me about all the things that was kind of going on and what they were combating and globalists, this and that and the other. I said, well, go read Psalm 2. And in particular, actually, I want to pull up my phone Bible. If you haven't got the YouVersion phone app in your Bible, you just need to get it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull up Psalms 2 in the Passion Translation. And, man, it is so, so good the way it says it. We'll read it in both, but I want to pull it up here in the Passion Translation so that you can hear. In Psalms 2, why do the nations, I'm reading NIV at the moment, why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed. Don't ever mistake that this is about Democrats versus Republicans. It's not about that. And it's not about this nation against that nation. That's the way it appears. But what's going on with all that together is that there is a force at work, evil forces at work, using people, that the number one thing they want is they want to cast off God, and they want to cast off Jesus. And so here it says that this is written a long time before Jesus was born, but it says, the nations conspire, the people plot in vain, kings or rulers of the earth take their stand, rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. And they say, let us break off their chains against the Lord and his anointed one. Let us break off their chains, let us throw off their fetters. And verse 4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He does not sit up there and go, oh, my goodness, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, they're deciding that, you know, everybody in the world's going to have to take this jab, but whatever. If you don't do it, you're not going to get to eat. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. You can't be in the military. All this stuff, they're all over there deciding everything for us, like they think they know what's best. Literally trying to make treaties that would supersede our Constitution. And them trying to rule over us. Imagine Americans cowing down to that. I don't see it. I ain't seeing that happening. But here's the deal. No matter what they decide or what they don't decide or what gets decided in Washington, D.C., or in your state capitol, wherever you are, or at your mayor's office or at your city council or your school board, here's the facts. The fact is that God is the one who has actually got the ultimate say. He's not causing these bad things to happen. But he is going to work even in all these things, and he is not worried. So our confidence, you say, did you change sermon, Pastor? No, our confidence, when we hear the news, and I would recommend you do not watch the mainstream news because they're not trustworthy. If they were trustworthy, I would say to you, keep informed. You find outlets that you know by praying about it, and by reputation, that they're trustworthy, that they speak the truth, and that's where you get your news from. Don't get your news from people that'll feed you the misinformation because they have an agenda, okay? The one who's enthroned in heaven, he doesn't get worried. He just scoffs at them. Now listen to it from the Passion Translation. It's really good. It says it this way, how dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. Look how the power brokers of the world rise up to hold their summit. You know what they call that in Davos, Switzerland? You know what they call it? A summit. These translators were not translating it this way to try to just bash that. This is the Holy Spirit giving us confidence. He said their foolish plots are futile. Look how the power brokers of the world, that's all the elites, that's not just elected officials or kings or rulers. That's big business people, people that think they own the world and they can do whatever they want. Do you realize there are people so rich and so powerful in the world, Bill Gates being one of them, that he literally thought that he himself could pay for and whatever, that he would have technology of putting these little flakes of stuff in our atmosphere that would reflect the sunlight and cool the earth off. Did he ask what gives him the right to change the whole earth? And the answer is nothing. Somebody might hear me and say, well, he's just doing that to try to help all of us, protect us from global warming. I'm like, really? Okay. So these rulers, they scheme. It says they hold their summits. These rulers scheme and they confer together. And here's how it translates it. Against Yahweh, that's God's Old Testament name, and his anointed king. That's Jesus. And they say, let's come together and break away from the Creator once and for all. Let's cast off the controlling chains of God and his Christ. That's how they translate it in the Passion. In the NIV, you know, it says, let's throw off the chains, break the chains, and throw off the fetters. Fetters, not feathers. But God just laughs. He doesn't laugh because he thinks that what they're doing is funny. He laughs because whatever they do does not change him. In Malachi 3:6, he says, I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you descendants of Jacob are not destroyed. It's what God told the Israelites, the very last book of the New Old Testament. God said, I don't change. And here's the thing, you can take it this way. Things don't change God. He's the same God. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the same. This latest virus, I hear one's coming out called X now, and it's not the same as Twitter. Don't let it scare you. I'm not saying to go to Walgreens and lick the door handles and say, I got faith. I'm not saying be stupid, right? Don't tempt the Lord your God. Jesus said, devil said, jump off the cliff. God told you in his word, he'll protect you. Jesus said, it's also written, don't tempt the Lord. Don't be foolish. But at the same time, we don't need to worry. We don't need to be afraid. We need to remain confident by fighting the good fight of faith, holding on to a clear conscience. Why? Because with that clear conscience, I can appropriate and take to myself the things that God promised. So here in Psalms, God promised this. He promised that no matter what world leaders do, anyone else does, it's not going to upset him, upset his plan. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I sometimes like preaching without notes because then the Holy Spirit can just prompt me wherever we want to go. Because when I came in here this morning, I promise you this, I don't know where we're going to go.
I like it when he does that.
I like it. It's a little scary sometimes when you're the one with the microphone, but it's all good. He's faithful. He's faithful. Ephesians chapter 1. I could just about quote you this verse, but I want to look at it with my eyes. Here's why. I want you to make a habit out of that. Even if you know a verse, Holy Spirit brings a verse to your attention about something, go put your eyes on it. Maybe even write it out on an index card. Maybe date that index card. Say, on January the 17th, the Lord spoke to me this verse, and write that verse out. Because you're going to want to hang on to that word from God. If it doesn't mean something to you immediately, it will later. Hang on to it. So, Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 11. Let's see if I got the right verse. I can see the word without these spectacles, but I can't see the verses. Yeah, verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, what? Guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, I want to point out a couple things about that. Number one, God says that the Holy Spirit being given to us as Christians is like a deposit. Now, there are translations said this way. He is like our engagement ring. He's the promise ring for our forthcoming marriage to Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, a complete union to Christ. We're joined to Jesus now. We're in Christ. But the Holy Spirit guarantees us that in the future we will literally be with Jesus and that everything that God promises is guaranteed. If God promised it, the Holy Spirit guarantees it. That's the way I take that verse. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that what God promised is ours. And I'm going to look at this verse again real quickly, verse 11. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. Predestined in that verse does not mean that there are people on the earth that are born to be saved and people on the earth that are born to be lost, because that does not line up with the rest of the Bible. Predestined in this sense means that Paul was writing it. He's saying to the Ephesians, we were the ones that were chosen to be born in this day, in this time, having received Christ. It was our destiny to live at this moment as Christians. That's what he's talking about when he mentions predestination. He's not talking about whether you're born to be saved or born to be lost. There is nowhere in the scripture that says that God creates us in the womb of our mother and some of us are going to die and go to eternal hell because we never even had a chance to receive grace. And then there are others that are just going to get saved and it's going to happen. I mean, if that's how it was, then why evangelize? Why would we preach the gospel? Why does the Bible tell us to... Jesus said, let your light shine before men so they can see your good works. Why? If everybody's already just born to be saved or born to be lost, why? Why preach the gospel? Why do anything? Because, I mean, if it's just God's choice, then you're going to be saved if he chose you to be saved, and you're going to be lost if he chose to be lost. That is a false doctrine. That is a doctrine that does not line up with the scriptures. Because the scriptures are clear that God wants us to be saved. John 3:16, for example. God so loved the world. Not God so loved just a few. Or God so loved a whole bunch, but the other few. You know, Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the gate and wide is the road that leads to destruction. Many go there. So if we were looking at it, there'd be more lost than there are saved. According to what Jesus said, that's true. But it's not because some are destined to be lost and some are destined to be saved. It's because people choose to reject Jesus or choose to accept Jesus. In Ephesians, we were chosen. Why were we chosen? You want to know how come you're chosen? Because you chose to choose Jesus. And that makes you chosen. It's your choice to be chosen. Mm-hmm. He has made it available. But here's the part that I really like in this verse. He works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. He works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. God works out what? Everything. Every little detail. In conformity to the purpose or the plan of his will. Is God working in what's happened in our country in the last 3.5 years? Yes, he is. Are these things God's will? No. A lot of things are not God's will. Abortion being promoted is not God's will. Abortion being overturned as legal, that's God's will, because murder's not God's will. Okay? There are a lot of things being promoted and perpetrated in our country that are not God's will. But that doesn't mean that God's not using those things even to lead us to the conformity to his will. Because Jesus didn't come to establish an earthly kingdom yet. See, we don't want to be like the Jews that were there when Jesus came, and they're like, but if he's really the Messiah, he'd be building an army to overthrow the oppressors of Israel, to overthrow the Romans in particular. That's a big reason why they missed Jesus when he came. Because they had such preconceived ideas that the Messiah will be the great military leader who relieves Israel of its oppression, that they forgot to see in Isaiah that before he comes as a conquering king, he comes as a suffering servant. And when Jesus came to establish his kingdom on earth, he said, if my followers, if I was establishing an earthly kingdom, then my followers would fight with swords. But they didn't. They fought with truth, words, and they willingly gave up their lives rather than give up those words of truth. So God is working in all things. He is working. It reminds me of Romans 8:28. You don't turn there because we're going somewhere else in Ephesians. But Romans 8:28 is one of my absolute favorite verses. And it says that we know. That sounds confident. No. We know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We know. I like know. Mm-hmm. We know it. We know what? That in all things, good, bad, ugly, and otherwise. If they were all good, God wouldn't even have to say it. So it's obvious that not everything's going to be good. In all things, God works together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Doesn't say everything is good. But you and I can have confidence that God is working for our good. That God is not wringing his hands in heaven because some leader chose this or some person did that. This new thing has come down the pipe. He's not worried. He's not fretting. He's the same God, same promises, same power. And all it takes is confident faith to receive his will being done in your life. I'm going to prove that, and then we're going to be done. I know I'm a minute or two over, but let's look at chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and in your sins in which you used to live. When you followed the ways of the world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work, and those who are disobedient. So when you see people being disobedient, realize it's not just them doing it. Mm-hmm. Verse 3, all of us also once lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sin nature, following its desires and thoughts, and like the rest of the world, the rest of people, we were by nature objects of wrath. Sin will incur the wrath of God. But because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our sins. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ. Here's our last couple verses. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and that's not from yourself, not even the faith, let alone the grace. Neither one of those are from you. He said, it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is what? Gift of God. A gift of God. You know the only one that could ever take a gift away from you, if you don't choose to throw it away, would be the one that gave it to you. And God is not like that. The Bible literally says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, he doesn't change his mind. God gave us the gift. If we don't throw the gift away, we have the gift. What is the gift? It is a confident covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, because it's not about what we've done, but about what he did. We are saved by grace through faith, and that's not from ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, verse 9 says, so that no one can boast. And in verse 10, we are God's workmanship. In other words, he's the one that did the work. And he created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. To do good works. So I want you to take today to don't let the enemy make it about you. Don't let the enemy make it about what's going on around you. Don't lose your confidence in God, in his covenant, in your relationship with him, because your relationship with God is not about what the world does or what this one does or that one does or even what you've done. Your relationship with him is about what Jesus has done for you and how you're responding to that. 1 John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:5. Now think about that. If you're standing under the shower, how dirty could you get? Not very dirty. So if we're walking in the light, in other words, walking in the revelation knowledge that we have of God, walking in fellowship with God, then the blood of Jesus is continually cleansing us. And he goes on, says, if you walk in darkness, but you claim you walk in light, you're fooling yourself, but you're not fooling God. So don't let the enemy make it about you. If there are things in your life or in my life that I need to correct, let's correct them. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't say there's no course correction. It says there's no condemnation. We have to course correct all the time. But don't let your needing to course correct rock or shatter or dissipate your confidence in the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And because of that, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, no matter how many promises God has made, because of Christ Jesus, they are yes. And through us, the amen is spoken. I love coming here in this building because when you walk in the entry, it's on the wall out there. That's very scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Maybe you need that one today. Write it down. Go write it out. Every promise God made to us, healing, salvation, forgiveness, deliverance, protection, provision, it's yes in Christ. It's not maybe. It's yes. And you need to just say, amen. I believe it. I line up with it, and I receive it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word. That's one of my favorite parts about coming to work here, seeing that every morning when I walk in.
Yeah.
On the wall.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. We appreciate you coming and sharing with us. I've been listening to you for a lot of years. This show really has discipled me, even when I wasn't plugged in with the church.
Yeah.
So it's a blessing to actually sit in the room with y'all.
Well,
watch the Holy Spirit weave all of the words together.
Weave it together.
From the outside, but being in here, it's even cooler. So.
Yeah. That's like being in church, by the way. It's better to be there.
Yeah, it
I'm
really
just encouraging
is.
You. Go to the church God wants you to go to and love God there. If there are things you don't like, just love God anyway. Love the people.
Well, even when I was going to church, though, I still tuned in to the program.
Oh, yeah. We need
really
to feed.
Need to listen to other people's perspectives of the different scriptures.
Yeah. And feed ourselves. Listen, verify everything you hear from the Word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where you hear it. From me, from wherever. Take it to the Word and look at it in context. And if there's something you don't understand, get with someone you trust who knows the Word and ask them for some references. Even your smartphone can help you a lot now. You can ask your smartphone questions about the Bible. It'll give you answers. Now, here's my recommendation. Don't just read it on your phone. Because I personally believe there are people manipulating online what they say the Bible says. So use your smart device, your computer, to find it, and then go to your actual Bible and look at it in context for yourself. You won't go wrong.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, and Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.